If you turn to your Bibles, we're technically down tonight, so we'll have to do this without visuals. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. Tonight in our series, I want to talk about overcoming guilt. And of course, I prepared this for the visual, so you can just kind of help me tonight as I try to describe some things. You can visualize it and help me out here. Let's pause for prayer. Overcoming guilt. Heavenly Father, we pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Lord, you know every need in the house, however deep that it might be. And I pray that whatever is said and done, that you would move by your Holy Spirit, make Jesus real, make a difference in our hearts. Oh God, thank you for your presence that's here. Thank you for the work you've been doing in the services, Lord. And now we thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Overcoming guilt. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20 says, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Or I could read it this way. If we have a guilty heart, God is greater than our heart and he knoweth all things. And we'll talk about overcoming guilt. Some years ago, and this is reported in AP News, but some years ago, a new product hit some stores. It was called disposable guilt bags. Disposable guilt bags. They looked just like regular brown paper sacks because they were just regular brown paper sacks. But for $2.50, you could buy a disposable guilt bag with the instructions. The instructions were, if you felt guilty, take the brown paper back and open the mouth of it. Take a deep breath and blow all of your guilt into the brown paper bag and close it up and then throw it in the trash and you've thrown your guilt away. How many wish it worked that easy? By the way, they sold 2,500 brown paper bags at $2.50. I hope that guy feels guilty. Amen. How many knows the blood of Jesus can take care of guilt? Are you glad for forgiveness? Hallelujah. I want to say, first of all, tonight, believe it or not, I want to say this. Guilt is a good thing. How can I say that? How can I say guilt is a good thing? Now, we don't like to hurt, but in spite of the fact that they make us hurt, how many is glad you have nerves? You say, how can nerves be good? They make you hurt. God has given our bodies a nervous system because it indicates to us when something is wrong. When if we put our hand on a hot stove, the nervous system goes into action and says, remove thy hand. And so the nervous system is a good thing. Well, what the nervous system is to the body, guilt is to the soul. Guilt is a good thing. Guilt tells you you're injuring your soul, your person. Guilt tells you something is wrong. You know, we're living in a time when the world acts like guilt is simply a bad thing and it's something you should talk yourself out of or around. The Old Testament prophet said there's coming a time when people would no longer blush. If there was ever a description of our society, it's right there. It's a time when people no longer blush. In other words, they have no guilt. But I'm telling you, guilt is a good thing. God's nervous system for the soul. Now, having said that guilt is a good thing, I want to say that guilt is a bad thing. We'll see how it can be both in a moment. I remember reading this. In fact, I remember it happened on two occasions at least. But this one happened I think it was Texas. Well, it doesn't give the state, but I'll just tell you what happened. The bottles of oxygen that they send to hospitals and nursing homes and other people that have medical needs, there's another gas, argon, that looks a lot like it. The bottles look very similar. And I'm thinking of two instances at nursing homes where they sent the argon gas instead of the oxygen gas and put it on patients. Now, that gas isn't poisonous, but it's not helpful. It doesn't have the contents that oxygen has. And so here were these patients hooked up to oxygen, and they literally died because they thought they were getting oxygen, and they weren't. They were getting argon. And so here's how I can say that guilt is good and at the same time say guilt is bad, because true guilt is good. But there is an imposter of true guilt. It's like the argon is to the oxygen, and it's a false guilt. And just like the argon gas kill folks, false guilt will destroy a person's spiritual life and spiritual vitality. Everything looks the same. Just like between oxygen and argon, true guilt, false guilt, they look the same. But false guilt will destroy a person. It'll destroy the soul. I'll tell you what guilt does, and it causes you to live inside the narrow world of your self-absorbed thoughts. If you have a problem with false guilt, and I'll just say, we will waste our energies on punishing ourselves. We'll stay discouraged all the time. We'll find ourselves weak spiritually. We'll lose confidence. We'll lose hope. We'll lose the joy of our salvation. And in that case of false guilt, guilt is bad. You know, the world will teach us that all guilt is bad, and they'll try to get you to explain it away. But I want to make clear tonight, true guilt is good. It's false guilt that is bad. What is true guilt? Something else our society knows little of, but true guilt is remorse because you were responsible for something you've done wrong. That's true guilt, remorse. Because you are responsible for something you've done wrong. Amen. That is true guilt. Guilt happens the moment you knew better. How many's ever had that hit you? You knew better. You knew you shouldn't have said that. You knew you shouldn't have done that. You knew you shouldn't have gone there. And that's true guilt, remorse of being responsible for something you've done wrong. If you have true guilt, let me say, now we're talking about overcoming guilt, but I want to say right off the bat here, if you have true guilt, you don't overcome true guilt by overriding it, ignoring it, denying it. If you have true guilt, you can override it to the point you don't feel it anymore. That's kind of like someone that develops a very sharp pain in his abdomen. He's going to find out later it's his appendix bursting. Very sharp pain, or about to burst. And so what does he do? He says, I have a very sharp pain in my abdomen. And he goes to the medicine cabinet, and he gets about 3 strong painkillers. And he gets a glass of water, and he swallows the painkillers. And about 20, 30 minutes later, he's floating on big fluffy clouds, and he can't feel the pain any longer. And he says, this is great. I've taken care of the pain. Well, all he has done is mask the pain. He's masked the symptom, but the problem is still there. When you override, when you ignore true guilt, you are just masking the pain, but the problem is still there. If it's a matter of true guilt, you don't overcome it by ignoring it. You overcome it by getting right what is wrong. Forgiveness. Confession. Amen. Amen. You overcome true guilt by getting it right, but you overcome false guilt by recognizing it's a false guilt and overcoming it. Amen. True guilt has a basis. True guilt has a foundation, a reason, but false guilt is a guilt without a legitimate basis, without a legitimate cause. Now, I want to talk to you about some causes of false guilt. I wouldn't have got them all, but I just started listing things. Now, by the way, let me preface this by saying this is one of the major problems I have worked with people trying to serve God. They get overcome by false guilt, and it destroys their Christian experience and their Christian life. And so thinking of those times when I've dealt with folks, I begin to write out some causes of false guilt. The first of those is what I'm going to call phantom guilt. Phantom guilt. How many has ever heard of someone that had amputation having phantom pain? I had a picture of this to show you, but it's a real, very real phenomena. The nerve memory of this is in the brain. And let's just say it's an arm, because of medical reasons or injury, someone has an arm amputated. And let's say it's their right arm. They may wake up at night and feel their right hand itching. And they reach to scratch it, and there's no hand there. It's been amputated. They can even get good sensations. They can feel like all of a sudden there's warm water on their hand. But their hand is no longer there. It's called phantom pain or phantom sensation. But some guilt, false guilt, is phantom guilt. The sin is gone, but the guilt keeps coming back. Now, you don't have to lift a hand, but I venture to say there are many of you that know exactly what I'm talking about. The sin is gone. You've confessed it. Jesus has forgiven it. But there are moments when the guilt of what you have done just sweeps over you and over you again. It's reoccurring feelings over something you've taken care of. You've said you're sorry. You've confessed to the Lord. You've done everything possible to make things right, but you still feel bad. It happens. You can overcome false guilt. Here's another cause of false guilt. The situation that you're in just looks really bad. I had a picture of this too. When I first started going to seminary in Springfield, and you had to go through the back roads back then to get to the seminary. And it was new to me, and the chains were new. Well, I was looking for a convenience store to go in and get a soda pop. I was almost to school, and so I was looking for one to go in and get a soda. That's what you call it in Missouri there, soda. And I said, that's a chain I'm not familiar with. That's a convenience store chain I'm not familiar with. It was Brown Derby or something like that. And I said, I'll just run in there. And my mind was all occupied. Sister Bonnie, she knows. She said, so I just went in through the door, and I'm standing there, and I'm looking around for the fountain machine. And all of a sudden, I got to notice everything looked the same. I was right in the middle of a liquor store on my way to seminary. Hallelujah. And you know, I hadn't done a thing wrong. But Brother Carr, I felt so guilty. I mean, I was just in a bad situation. False guilt. Another is false guilt when others think you're doing wrong. Have you ever been doing right, but folks were thinking you were doing wrong and you just felt guilty? Years ago, when technology was just first starting to develop, I was in Office Depot up at Consumer Square there, and I was looking at special PDAs, and I wanted one. They were just coming out with that would sync with my computer, and a lot of them didn't have that feature. And you go in there at Office Depot, and they had all those electronic devices. They had them attached to a little wire, you know, the kind you can pull up and everything. And I was just going through there and pulling them up. Brother Dale and I'd look on the back. It's quicker than reading. You know, you could just look on the back, see if they had that port there. And I got a hold of one of those, and I lifted up. And as I turned it over to look on the back for the port, the alarm went off. It was attached to alarm. And I mean, the manager, he came running, everything else. And here I just still, I'm holding it, you know. And they're all running at me. Could I help you, sir? And he thought I was trying to steal that thing. I wasn't trying to. I just felt my face grow red. I just felt so guilty. False guilt. I'll tell you another source of false guilt. It's condemnation of the devil. The devil loves doing this. He loves to bring up your past. He loves to make you feel condemned and guilty about things that are already under the blood and already taken care of. Another cause of false guilt is temperament. If you've been in any of my Sunday school classes, you've ran into this quite a bit, but we all have different temperaments. But you can condemn yourself. You can make yourself feel guilty. And for all of you melancholies in the crowd, you know what I'm talking about. One of the ways you feel guilty, you just never feel good enough. It don't matter how much you put into it. You never feel like you've done a good enough job. You never feel like you've put enough into it. You just constantly feel guilty. You beat yourself up. You know, I know this. I'm a pretty strong melancholy. I can make myself feel guilty about anything. I mean, it can happen. You can relate with me if you're there. And there is always something wrong with the way I've done. I mean, I can feel guilty about not feeling guilty. That's the way it works. I might have worked 16 hours one day, but if I relax, I feel guilty about relaxing. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? False guilt. Okay. Here's another cause of false guilt. The culture in which you were raised or lived. Now, there's something about we Americans. We might be lazy, but we don't want anybody to think we are. And there's something in American culture that we think it's a sin to be caught sleeping. And so we lie a lot, you know. Were you asleep? No, I'm awake. Well, you are now. I mean, you might have only had 5 hours sleep or 4 hours sleep, but if someone calls and wakes you up, were you asleep? We feel guilty that we got caught sleeping. That's a cultural thing. There's nothing wrong with getting the required amount of rest for the body, but somehow we Americans, we just feel guilty if we get caught sleeping. Another part of the culture is even the culture we were raised in specifically. Now, listen, I don't have time to give all the qualifications here tonight. There are such things as personal convictions. In other words, there are things that God can impress me that are wrong for me that might not be wrong for you. And I was raised that playing pool was wrong. Because back then, about the only place you could play it would be at a pool hall where they sold beer and they did all of that. And folks that were getting saved, Brother Dale, back in those days, I mean, that was taboo because they knew what it was associated with. And I understand we have now a whole generation of people, they don't even know what a pool hall is. They've never been in a tavern. They don't even know what they play in a tavern. Pool's just another game like whatever, basketball or baseball. It's just another little game you play. But to this day, and I never visited taverns or pool halls or anything, but to this day, I would feel guilty to pick up a pool. Okay, and again, I'm not covering personal convictions tonight. We're talking about another issue. Sometimes we feel guilty because of the culture that we were raised with. I'm talking about false guilt. Another thing is peer pressure. I mean, you've just cut off a double-sized piece of pie, and you're just anticipating that. And several people look at that huge piece of pie, and they'll say, "Don't tell me you're going to eat that. Are you going to eat all that by yourself?" And time people get through with you, you feel guilty. Not too guilty, but circumstances. Your circumstances can make you feel guilty. I was raised in this small clapboard house, and no one could keep a house in better shape or cleaner than my parents. I mean, it was just really nice. But this was in high school. We had an advanced composition class, and I was infatuated with this little redheaded girl that sat in front of me. And she used me to help her with her homework and everything. And I thought I was in love and everything. But she was on the track team, which I didn't know. And one day I'd come home from school in the afternoon. I'd walked out in front of my house, and she and all her friends, they lived in the rich side of town, the big brick houses and everything. And I'll never forget, I saw her. I was caught. I couldn't run. Here she comes with the other girls running down the sidewalk for the track team. And she got up to where I was, and she stopped, and she looked at me, and she said, "You mean you live here?" And, you know, there was no cause for it. There's no reason. But I just felt this embarrassment, like a guilty feeling that I would live in a house. And it was a nice house and everything. And just because it wasn't what she was accustomed to. And but what I'm trying to talk about, sometimes you can feel guilty because you begin to think in life, look, why haven't I done better? Why am I financially better off? Why don't I have a better house? Why don't I have a better car? And you can start feeling guilty like you're a failure. It's a false guilt. You can feel guilty, a false sense of guilt, because of your training. I was raised, you change your own oil. And very few times, Brother Carr, have I went to a garage and had them change oil. But to this day, that was so ingrained within me, you don't spend all that money and have your oil changed. You go buy, you change it. To this day, if I go and have my oil changed, I feel guilty. That's baseless. That's a false guilt. Two more, we'll move on. But another source of false guilt is inferiority, insecurity. Some people have absolutely zilch confidence in their decision. Whichever way they make the decision, they feel like they've made the wrong decision. False guilt. And then last, and you can add to the list, but a cause of false guilt is the blessed or survivor guilt. How many's heard of survivor guilt? Maybe someone's been around. Let's say we lived in Xenia and a tornado hit and your neighbor's house was totally destroyed and your house was left untouched. And of course, you're glad, but you begin to feel guilty that their house was destroyed and yours wasn't. The same thing works with blessed guilt. You've been blessed. You know, things are working out for you. You've got a good job. You got a good house. And you hear about others. They've lost their job. They're losing their house. And you begin to feel guilty because you're blessed. All of these are false guilt. You know, when you feel guilty about something, it's something you don't feel like you can talk about. Because if it's bad enough to make you feel guilty, it's bad enough you don't feel like you can share it with others. Now, I've said all that, and I hope I didn't lose you through that little meandering there. But to get back to our text, it said, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and no of all things. If it's true guilt that's condemning us, God's greater than our heart. He can forgive us. He can wash away the sin. He can take away the condemnation. If it's false guilt, God is greater than our heart. He's greater than our inferiority. He's greater than our complex. He's greater than our temperament. He's greater than our training. I'm glad that we don't have to live with guilt. If it's true guilt, we can be forgiven. If it's false guilt, God can help us overcome. Amen. I'm going to talk briefly about overcoming true guilt. And here's where I was really relying on my visuals. But first of all, research the root. Now, usually, if it's true guilt, we know what we've done wrong. But not always. Sometimes guilt begins to work. And we have to ask the Lord to search me, O God, and know my heart. If there's any wicked way in me, show it to me. We have to do some research. We have to read the Bible. We don't know why we feel guilty about doing such and such a thing. So we do research. We read the Bible. We try to find out about it. Amen. So if it's true guilt, research the root. Secondly, repent. I want to tell you the way to overcome true guilt. Repent. Confess. And repent doesn't mean, oh, I'm sorry. It's, oh, I'm sorry and I don't want to do it again. Overcoming true guilt, remove the reason. I had a visual of a guy hitting the delete button. Amen. If something makes you feel guilty, get rid of the reason of your guilt. Amen. Whatever it is, if it's a certain magazine, get rid of the magazine. If it's doing a certain thing, stop doing it. Remove the reason. Reconcile. Reconcile. If it's a wrong, you're guilty because of a wrong against someone. Get things right with that person. Make things right with that person. Get together. Get in harmony again. Overcoming true guilt. Restore. If you stole something, amen, give it back. Praise the Lord. That don't ever happen in the church, does it? I learned that in the boys' dorm. You wouldn't believe those that steal milk and anything you put in the refrigerator, right? But if you stole something, restore it. And then how do you overcome true guilt? You rejoice. If you've taken care of it, if you're forgiven, when the guilty feeling starts to hit again, say, wait a minute, I don't have to feel guilty. God has forgiven me. I'm going to lift my hands and thank God that He's a merciful God. My sins are underneath the blood. I'm going to sing, there's power, power, wonder working power. And I'm going to rejoice in God that I am forgiven. And then I put reach for the future. You've blown it in the past. You've messed up. But guilt usually happens when you look back. Look forward. Reach for the future. If you've asked God to forgive you, even if it happened a minute ago, it happened a long time ago, leave it there. And then tonight I want to turn our attention before we close on the real issue here, overcoming false guilt. How do we overcome false guilt? First of all, we rule out legitimate reasons. Why? Because if there's a legitimate reason, it's not false guilt, it's true guilt. We need forgiveness. Rule out a legitimate cause. You're feeling guilty? The question to ask is, on the basis of God's word, what God has spoken to my heart, should I feel guilty? And if there's no legitimate cause, there's no legitimate cause. It's false guilt. Secondly, reason, I'm talking about as a verb, reason based on objectivity. In a recent poll, 34% of people felt guilty and they didn't have a cause. They felt guilty over nothing at all. You know, here's the enigma here. I really believe this. I believe people that are haphazard about their Christian life, the ones that should feel guilty, are the ones that feel the least guilty. You know who has the greatest problem? It's those that really want to serve God. They really want to do right. And that's why they're sensitive and they feel guilty. But we need to reason some things. I mean, what am I talking about? Reason. Listen, the Bible says His blood will cleanse from all sin. That might have been a sin, but He's cleansed it. That's all sin. Or reason further. In fact, I just put it this way. If there is no reason, there's no reason. Why you feel guilty? I don't know. Then you shouldn't feel guilty. Reason. Amen. If you did nothing wrong, you did nothing wrong. I mean, just deal with the facts and then rest in God's mercy. Rest. I wish I could show you the pictures I had here. Rest in God's mercy. Even if we have done something wrong, if we've confessed, God has forgiven, and just rest in His mercy. Just say, I'm forgiven. I thank God for your mercies. I'm going to rest in your grace and in your mercy. Another way to overcome false guilt is to remind yourself of what the Word says. You're feeling guilty? Quote the Word. I'm glad for the Word, aren't you? I'm telling you, I've done this a lot of times. That old false guilt starts coming up, guilt from the past, and I just look at the enemy of my soul, and I quote Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no, N-O, no, capital N, capital, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The devil will come and say, well, it happened many years ago, but you've never been forgiven. That's too bad of a sin. And I begin to quote the Word, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all, A-L-L, all unrighteousness. Amen. Remind yourself of what the Word says. And part of that overcoming false guilt is to resist Satan's condemnation. Resist Satan's condemnation. Amen. Did you know it's always bad, whatever the case, it's always bad to find yourself agreeing with the devil. He'll come by and say, you're a rotten fella. If you agree with him, I mean, think what you're doing. How can it be good to agree with the devil? Whatever he says, how can it be good? Even if it's in temptation, he said, oh, that's good for you. How can it ever be good to agree with the devil? We don't have to agree with the devil. We can resist the devil. He comes and say, you know that thing you did when you were a teenager? That was really, really bad. And you begin to feel guilty because you start agreeing with him. Yes, it was really, really bad. Well, I don't know if you're forgiven. You know, that's how I feel, Satan. I don't know if I've been forgiven. I know I've confessed. I know I've prayed. And we're agreeing with the devil. Listen, don't agree with the devil. Resist the devil. When he comes and begins to make you feel guilty, look at him and tell him to get out of there. There was an old Southern gospel song, I don't remember much of it, but it said something about when he reminds me of my past, I just remind him of his future. Hallelujah. I mean, resist it. He starts bringing up your past, you start bringing up his future. Glory to God. We shall overcome. Overcoming false guilt. Rule out a legitimate reason. reason in your mind and heart based on objectivity. Rest in God's mercy. Remind yourself of what the Word says. Resist Satan's condemnation and then redirect your attention. When you suffer and I suffer from false guilt, we're getting too caught up in thinking about ourselves. We're being way too introspective. We're giving ourselves way too much credence. It's all about us. We need to redirect our attention. I mean, we're praying and false guilt stops us in the midst. We quit praying. We start saying, yeah, I'm bad. Yeah, that's bad. Yeah, agreeing with the devil. And our attention is on ourselves. Redirect your attention. Say, wait a minute, stop this. I was worshiping God. Oh, God, you're great. God, you're merciful. God, you're good. Redirect your attention. Amen. And then the same I said with true guilt, to overcome false guilt, just rejoice in God. Amen. We need to do more of that. We got problems, more problems than false guilt. We got troubles. But oh, what a relief for our souls. Oh, what a help for our souls. If we just lift our hands and say, whatever happens, I'm a child of God. I've been forgiven. God is good. God's got plans for me. Good plans, not bad. God's got a future. God is wonderful. Holy is it. Just rejoice. And again, I say to you, rejoice. Hallelujah. In everything. Would you come, music? So if you have false guilt tonight, you can overcome that. There's enough word. There's enough trusting in the Lord. Doing these practical things we suggested. You can overcome false guilt. But never think for a moment I'm talking about if you've got true guilt to ignore it. But you can overcome true guilt too. Because if you have done something wrong, there's a God that's merciful and forgiving and helpful. Amen. Aren't you glad if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knoweth all things. I haven't really tried to keep track, but I believe there's been at least, maybe one of these young people would know better than I, at least three instances over the last 2 or 3 years where young girls have committed suicide because there were pictures circulating via text and email and the social networks, pictures of them inappropriately. And these girls, when those things, someone betrayed them and sent out and forwarded these pictures, when these girls found out they couldn't take the shame and the embarrassment, and they committed suicide. And that's a shame in and of itself, and it speaks of the dangers of texting and emailing and taking photos are inappropriate. That's not a thing to play around with. But oh, I wish we could have talked to those girls and said, yes, I mean, that was a bad thing, and yes, there's embarrassment here, but oh, there's a God that's forgiving and helpful, and you can overcome this. Hallelujah. You know how I can say that? Because He bore our shame, and He bore our guilt before all humanity, exposed and ill-treated. He bore our guilt and condemnation that we might not have to bear it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand across the building? I'm going to open these altars generally, but I say this a lot now. I don't speak in a vacuum anymore. It's not theoretic. It's from experience. So many folks I've dealt with struggling in their Christian life, not able to move forward because they're stuck with this false guilt that plagues them. I want to tell you, you can overcome. You see, once again, this doesn't even affect the half-hearted. This doesn't even affect the apathetic. They're not even concerned. But if you're here tonight and you have a heart to serve God and you really want to serve Him, but this false guilt thing keeps rearing its head, I want you to know you can put that behind you tonight. You can trust in the goodness of the Lord. You can serve Him with the joy in your heart. So I'm going to open these altars generally, but I want you to believe that the message, the teaching was specifically for you tonight. God can help you in these altars. Amen. Would you come and pray? God bless you tonight. Just come and pray. Amen. Everyone come. If it addresses you specifically, say, God, I'm going to get help tonight. I'm going to receive help and strength. Oh, if it's underneath the blood, it's underneath the blood. If it's forgiven, it's forgiven. Hallelujah. In the sea of God's forgiveness. Hallelujah. Oh, why don't we just rejoice in His mercy. Rejoice in His goodness. Rejoice in His love.